This is the scripture I want to look at this evening. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you, who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Malachi was the last book in the Old Testament. It's the last prophet that was written about, was it 400 years before the New Testament, before Jesus comes. So here in verse 2 here, we have the Son of Righteousness. Now, from a New Testament context, please answer me right here. Who is the Son of Righteousness? Who do we understand the Son of Righteousness to be? Jesus. All right, the S-O-N of Righteousness. Okay, so we might need to scratch our heads a little bit and say to ourselves, Malachi, he was a prophet right at the end of the Old Testament. He's obviously prophesying about the S-O-N of Righteousness. Did he not hear from God right, and he misspelt something, and he put S-U-N instead of S-O-N? Has he somehow got it wrong? No, I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the prophet Malachi to write the word S-U-N to demonstrate a point, to illustrate a point. Now, the sun is always shining. The S-U-N is always shining. It's always radiating its warmth. It's always radiating its light. It's always radiating its life towards us. And I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired Malachi to put Son of Righteousness so that we would make this comparison to the S-O-N of Righteousness, who is always radiating his love, always radiating his grace, always radiating his mercy, always radiating his healing, always radiating his blessings, always radiating his healings. Have I said all of those already before? And even if I repeated some, never mind, because it's always radiating towards us. And I believe that the prophet Malachi is wanting us to understand that the grace and the love is always there. But just as today, it's been wet and we've not seen the sun, there are clouds sometimes that get in the way. Now, the clouds have been getting in the way today and it's been raining, but has the sun still been shining?
Yes.
And when we talk about the Son of Righteousness, when his healing is flowing, as an example, and we're not receiving that healing, is the healing still flowing? Is the healing still shining?
Yes.
But there is a cloud in the way, and we're not receiving it. So tonight I'm just going to think about the clouds that can perhaps stop us from receiving, or perhaps even make the point that it's all about receiving that which is emanating from God, which is emanating in Jesus. Let's just continue with this, you'll understand what I'm saying. So regardless of the cloud cover, the sun still shines. Romans 8:39. Paul Ryan reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing has the authority to separate us from the love of God when we read that, when those verses wider around them. So, the love of God's Son Jesus is always shining towards me, but there can be clouds that prevent those healing rays making a difference in my life. But the important thing is to understand that God hasn't changed. His love, his compassion, his mercy and grace, his blessing and healing provision are constant. They are still flowing. Whatever happens in my life, whatever is going on in my life, it does not change God's attitudes towards me. Whatever is going on in this planet, the sun is still shining. Now, what are the clouds that can come in between us that stops us receiving that healing, that receiving that blessing, receiving that grace, receiving everything that God wants to come? Some of it can just be a lack of knowledge. We don't understand. We don't know that God wants to give. We don't know that we think that perhaps that we're still living under law. and receiving from God is all about achieving 10 out of 10. Ticking the box, obeying laws, and once you've hit the 10 out of 10, once you've been a good boy or a good little girl, then God will look upon you favorably, and then God will give you what you've asked. But if we have that, thinking that we've got to behave ourselves before we're going to get anything, we're never going to receive anything because we are all imperfect. But once we realize that Jesus has paid the price for us, and that the grace is already flowing, and all that we have to do is receive, we have that knowledge that makes a difference in our lives. If you're still living under Old Testament law, with all the cursings and punishments, it can stop you receiving the grace of God in your life. But then, just to keep this illustration as well, you see, because sometimes if you don't understand that God wants to heal you, you won't receive that healing. If you believe that God wants you sick, you don't have that knowledge that God wants to heal you. It is amazing how many people I come across, and how many churches that you can go to and hear this kind of message. And I bet you that all of us have been into churches that have had this idea that God wants you sick to teach you a lesson or something. I was with somebody on earlier on in this week, and they were saying that we were talking about praying for somebody who was poorly, and he said, "Oh well, it might not be God's will that He wants them healed. He might want them to come to a knowledge of Jesus to be saved, and that God wants them sick so that they're saved." And okay, that's the kind of message that you hear in a lot of churches. But let's think about that for a minute. Jesus didn't say go around and sneeze on people and make them ill, and then they'll say, "Ooh, I better give my life to Jesus." He didn't say, go round and sneeze on somebody and make them ill, and if they don't give their life to Jesus, make it worse. Sneeze on them again. And kick them up the backside and bruise them and make them painful. No, he didn't. He said, go around and heal the sick, because it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Amen? So here we have a lack of knowledge about all of these things. It stops us receiving. That's why we talked about Paul's thorn in the flesh the other day. That's why we talked about Paul's big writing. Wasn't big writing because he couldn't see, which is a lot of people, but it's big writing so that people got the message. I'm writing this big because you need to take note of that. You can hear that on the internet as well. You can ask me to burn the CD if you missed that or can't access the internet. But a lack of knowledge will stop you receiving. Now, my brother and my sister-in-law, Andrew and Jasmine, they're sat on the front row here, or second row here. They've just been down for a funeral at the weekend, and they're just visiting, thought they'd take the opportunity to come and see their brother and their mother and father. And see, one of the things that they like to do is get a bargain. Just like me, aren't you? You're in a bargain. won't pay more for anything than they have to. And one weekend, they decided they were going to go and visit their grandchildren and their children in Scotland, in Edinburgh. And they wanted a cheap hotel, but they couldn't find one. And they had to stay at the I might have the facts a little bit wrong, but for the purposes of this illustration, bear with me. The basis is here. You can correct me afterwards. You can tell me whether I've got the gist of the story. This is the gist of the story. So they stay in the Holiday Inn Express. Holiday Inn what? No, was it a Holiday Inn Express? You're not sure the story. You're not sure the story. Tell us afterwards. And they paid more than they wanted to.
Oh yeah, we remember this one.
Yeah, they paid more than they wanted to. And they were quite upset about this. But it didn't matter because they were quite near the children. They were quite near the grandchildren. And every morning their tummy rumbled, thinking, "Oh, well, of course, that breakfast smells nice in this Holiday Inn." And Andrew and Jasmine said, "Well, we're not paying what they want for that." So they went to Sainsbury's and got one of these porridge pots, you know, filled it up out of the kettle and had watery old porridge. And they stayed there for 3 days, and they just had these snacks out of Sainsbury's, like you do when you're, like we do anyway, when you're on holiday. And paid a little bit more than they wanted to in this hotel, but never mind. Anyway, and on the way out, the clerk said, "Is everything all right, Mr. and Mrs. Sharp?" "Yes, fine. Has the shower been working nicely? Nice hot water?" "Yes, thank you very much." "Was the bed comfortable?" "Yes, thank you." "Was the breakfast all right?" "Breakfast?" "Yes, you could have had breakfast." "What?" "We had Sainsbury's porridge pots for 3 days, and we could have had haggis." That's what they serve in Scotland, you see. "We could have had haggis, we could have had sausage, we could have egg." The chef was there dishing it out. But they didn't receive it because of a lack of knowledge. So they've learnt that now. The point being, as you see, is that God, our Heavenly Father, is standing there, radiating His healing, radiating His grace, radiating His love. But if we are ignorant of His healing, if we are ignorant of His love, if we are ignorant of His grace, we don't receive. This is what so much of this teaching has been about over these last couple of days, a couple of weeks. So if you don't know that God wants to forgive you, bless you, heal you, you'll go hungry. If you think that God wants you sick, that Satan coming against you, wreaking havoc in your life, that you being miserable and a mess has something to do with God's will on your life, guess what? You'll never receive victory in your life. So the lack of knowledge can stop you receiving. The lack of unforgiveness can stop you receiving. Because who knows? You can't receive with a clenched fist. And if you know what unforgiveness does, it doesn't make a lot of difference to the other person. It makes a lot of difference to you, because all it does, it churns you up, it makes you angry, and all you want to do is become bitter, and all you're doing is rehearsing all the time what you'd like to see happen to this person and how you can get even. And you just relive the situation again and again, and you just get bitter and angry, and you just get fisticuffs all the time, and it stops you from receiving. Sin can stop you receiving. Now, listen very carefully here, because it's when we sin, God still wants to, for His grace to overflow. But the way that sin operates, when we sin, we have a conscience, habitual sin. We have a conscience, and that conscience hardens our heart. That conscience makes us hide from God. So if we go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they sinned. God wanted to talk to them. The sun was still shining. He wanted to communicate. He wanted to have fellowship. But what stopped them? Adam and Eve's shame and guilt and sin. They hid. God wanted to talk, but they hid. And that's what the effect that sin has on our life. It makes us guilty. And the enemy gets his foot in the door so that we hide away from God. Causes havoc in our lives. And the answer to that is to repent. God has done so much for you, He wants to bless and bring life and victory into our lives. The problem is not with God giving, the problem is with us receiving. Number two, the point here is, wavering affects our receiving, not God's giving. If any of you lacks wisdom, who's that? Yeah. Any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice here, given is mentioned twice in this one sentence. Because God wants to give and to give, alright? The sun is always shining. And notice also that if you lack wisdom, you come to God and you approach Him, and He gives liberally, alright, abundantly. The sun is always shining, always giving, always pouring out, without reproach. That's interesting as well. Because sometimes so many of us think that if we approach God and we ask Him something, He's going to tell us off. And tick us off. When we have children who do something wrong, we say, "Well, you made your bed, you lie in it. You got yourself into this mess, you get out of it." And do you know what? God is not like that. He's not like somebody who says, well, you silly woman, you silly bloke, you silly chap, whatever were you thinking of? I told you that if you were to do this, you'd end up in this mess. What are you doing? Now, he is a loving God who gives wisdom, who tells you the answer without reproach. And he says, well, David, yes, okay, this is the way ahead. This is the way forward. This is what you've got to do. This is the answer. Without telling you off for what you've done wrong already. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Without reproach. God's not like that. He wants you to receive. But let him ask with faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So you might say to yourself, well, what's the cloud in my life? Is there a cloud of unforgiveness in my life? Is there a cloud of sin in my life? Ask him. And before the words have got out of your mouth, God is going to reply to you. Because God is willing to give. That's what he says. He gives liberally. But let him ask in faith, without no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So the man who doubts won't receive anything from the Lord. It's not to do with God's giving, it's to do about our receiving. You see, there's a subtle difference there. Because so often we think that God is reluctant to give. No, he's not reluctant to give. The problem is not with God in giving, because the sun is always shining. The problem is with us receiving. And if there's a problem, we can ask God, what is it, Lord? Show me. Once you understand God is wanting to forgive, wanting to bless, wanting to heal, the emphasis is not upon persuading God to do something because he's already done it. Once you believe the sun is already shining, the emphasis is on how can I receive it. And I believe that once you understand that God is so willing to give, it makes it so much easier for us to receive. Okay. So let's look at some lessons of receiving. And here the illustrations are all on receiving healing. So how can I receive healing? What is the ingredient, or one of the ingredients, that's going to help me to receive from God? And I just want to emphasize that faith aspect tonight. And that when we come approaching, just like James has said here, that we should come without wavering. Because if we come with wavering, we're not going to receive. So it's important that faith is an important factor in us to be able to receive. Let's look at a few scriptures that will help us to understand this. Now, it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee and in Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of God was present to heal them. Notice that. What have I highlighted it here? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Okay, who was then able to answer me this question? Who was able to receive God's healing? Who was God's healing shining? It was God's healing, and who was it available to? To them, all right, including the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Amen. Everybody, the power of God was present to heal them. Let's see if there are any clouds. Then behold, men brought a man on a bed. Men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up onto the housetop and led him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before him. When he saw their faith, He saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Now, we said a little bit about this morning, because faith is more than a belief system. It's just not a philosophy. Faith is something that is put into action. Did I ever tell you? Did I ever tell you I should work at Sainsbury's? Yes. One day there was a fire up in the plant room, the refrigeration area that somebody had set fire to, the dust in on the floor, and it had caught a light and it was in danger of catching the oil and sending the whole building up in flames. So the alarm went and it was the call to evacuate. And I had to go up to the customers, and because, you know, what happened? Have you ever been in a shop where the fire alarm's gone on in Sainsbury's? Everybody just keeps on doing their shopping. They do. And I said, excuse me, madam. I said, there is a fire. We need to evacuate. Please leave your shopping and go. Now, the one who believes me puts what they believe into action. They put their faith in me into action because they scarper out the nearest fire exit. Now, the ones who say they believe but don't really believe are the ones who say, when you say to them, excuse me, madam, there is a fire in the building, we need to evacuate. They say, how long is it before the fire reaches me? Can't I just finish my shopping here? I've got a few tea bags to get and a few pints of milk to get. Can I just not finish off? How long will it be before my trolley melts? See, they're not putting the faith into action. They're just carrying on as normal. Faith makes a difference in your actions. And here, the actions of the men made sure that they said that they were going to drop this man through the roof. They believed that Jesus was going to do something, heal him, so they did something to make it happen. You don't dig somebody's roof up if you don't believe that Jesus is going to heal them, do you? You don't dig somebody's roof up. They didn't sit there and say, oh, I wonder whether it's God's will to heal this chala. I wonder whether it's God's will to him to be better off sick. No, they went believing that Jesus was going to heal him. He saw their faith. They dug a hole in the roof. You don't dig a hole in the roof unless you believe that Jesus is going to go to them. They didn't go through all that effort on the off chance. They didn't go through all that effort saying, I wonder if Jesus will heal. I wonder if he will turn around and say we'd be better off sick. They put their faith into action. But then look at the next slide. He said to them, man, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God alone? You see, they took offence at somebody being healed. They began to argue the point. You know, it's just like saying that, like that. There's a true experience actually of me when I was talking about Sainsbury's, when the customers were saying, can't we just finish off our shopping? You see, you tell them something, but they argue with you. They argue whether you're right or wrong. And, well, actually, madam, there's a fire and we need to get out of here. Oh, is there really? Yes, there is. And Jesus wants to heal. Does he really? Are you sure? I'm not so sure. Does he really? And these Pharisees, they took offence. Who is it who speaks these blasphemies? Who alone can forgive sins? They got caught up in a theological argument. And I wonder whether we just need to be people who just need to accept God's word rather than start getting caught up in theological arguments. Just believe God's word. You know, like when I was doing this sermon about Paul's thorn in the flesh the other week. People have written books and books and books about what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. None of it's in the Bible. Just read the Bible and it'll tell you what it is. We complicate things so much. Lord, you want to heal. So we talk, simple. We want to receive. Next slide. Go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he'd been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and we were filled with fear, filled with fear. That's not filled with dread, but filled with awesome fear. Filled with fear, we have seen strange things today. Now, this word strange is a bit of a strange word because it's the King James Version is the only word that translates this word strange. Actually, if you look at the Greek word, it can mean sort of unexpectedly strange. But really, it's a word that describes we've seen something wonderful today. We've seen something amazing today. We've seen something that, you know, blew our minds. Wouldn't it be nice? Hallelujah. If people would come to church, go out the building, and they go out building, and they get home, and they talk to their spouse or whatever, or whoever they met walking the dog in the following morning, and they say, "Cool, you should have been at church last night. We saw some wonderful things happen. We saw some strange, unexpected things happen. We were amazed at the power of God." Amen. Next one. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." So this is Jairus coming to Jesus, asking him to come to his daughter who has just died. Notice his approach. You come and lay hands on her, and she what? Maybe, perhaps, I don't know. Just give it a chance and see whether it will work or not. No, he had that confidence. Yes, it will work. She will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched him, the hem of his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." Not if be, not maybe, not if, or I wonder whether God wants me sick or whatever. I wonder whether God wants to teach me a lesson. No, it's, if only I touch his garment, I will be healed. That was her faith. She was willing to receive. She wanted to receive. She knew that the power of God was flowing from Jesus, and if she only just touched him, that power would come to him. In fact, if we read the passage in Mark, it goes into a little bit more detail. And you remember how in that scripture, Jesus looked round, because scripture says he felt power go from him as the woman touched him. And he said to his disciples, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Boy, there are lots of people touching you. You know, how can you say?" He says, "Someone touched me because I felt the healing power go from me." That woman touched him in faith. And that power flowed because she expected something from him. It wasn't magic, you see. It wasn't just touching him. You know, sometimes when you go to these places where I've just touched the Blarney Stone, is that right? Or something like that. Or kiss it and then I'll be all right. Everything will be all right. It wasn't superstition. Because everybody else who would have touched Jesus would have... It wasn't magic or anything like that. It was a touch of faith. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." She reached out, touched him, put her faith into action. And the woman was well or whole from that hour. The woman was well. Scripture says, or the King James Version says, that woman was whole from that hour. From that hour. Do you know that you can go home tonight, whole, healed? Tonight. Reaching out, touching him. Allowing that power to flow. Because the sun is shining. All you need to do is to receive. The Jairus' daughter, Jesus went and raised her from the dead. He knew that he was no respecter of persons. He knew the sun was shining. The new woman knew the sun was shining by faith. They received everything that God has for them. Last one, nearly done. When Jesus departed from there, two men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." When he had come into the house, the blind man said to him, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And he'd say, "Well, maybe, yeah, maybe, on the off chance, don't know, I'm going to give it a go." No, he said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." What was it that got them healed? Their faith. It is how they received that which was shining. It wasn't according whether to God wanted to give. That's already settled. It's whether you are ready to receive by faith. Now, this is where some people take offence, and you need to listen very carefully to what I say, because some people say, are you saying I'm not healed because I haven't got enough faith? Heard people say that before? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need more faith. You see, there's a subtle difference, because there is no condemnation in Christ. No one is condemning anybody who is not healed. All they're trying to do is encouraging them to have faith. And there's a subtle difference. It's not that the glass is half empty, but it's half full. And we need a little bit more. Sunday afternoon, I don't know whether you listen to BBC Radio 4. Gardener's Question Time. So, Gardener's Question Time. You ever listened to that programme? Have you listened to it?
Yeah.
Who's listened to Gardener's Question Time? You know, what it is, for the sake of those people who've never listened to Gardener's Question Time, they have a panel of three people and the chairman, and people from the Women's Institute or wherever they are visiting that particular week have questions about their roses and about their rhododendrons and about the ivy growing up the side of their house and all the weeds that are growing and goodness knows what, and about how they can get their compost to compost a bit better. So, Gardener's Question Time. I must confess, I often listen to it on a Sunday afternoon. All right, just relaxing for a few hours on Sunday afternoon. One day this woman comes up. I've got this rose bush in this pot. She had this... Now, she was describing that it was in a big pot, and she lifted it onto the desk, and you heard it. This is radio, so you couldn't see it. She says, I've had this rose bush in this big planter pot for 5 years, and it's not flowered once. What am I doing wrong? Panel, what do you reckon? So they asked her all these questions about the manure and about the fertilizer and about where she was keeping it, and was she keeping it in the sunlight and everything like that. Yes, 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 yes. And all the answers, was it in a draft? No. So all ticking all the boxes. And then one of the panelists said, do you water it? Well, I just leave it outside and just let the rain water it. No, no, no. You need to give it a good soaking every week. The minute you get home, give it a good soak. And every week, give it a good soak. And every other week, give it the week after that, give it a good soak. Because it wants water. Once you've watered it, you'll have flowers. Now, why am I telling this story? Because this woman didn't say, oh, you're condemning me. You're making me feel guilty. I'm taking offence that you've said that I'm not watering it. I'm not going to water it. I'm not going to take your advice. I'm just going to do what I've always been doing, because after all, if God wants it to flower, it will flower.
It won't flower if you won't water it.
And that's how some people react sometimes, because we're trying to encourage them with something positive that they can do to make their flower blossom, to bring healing into their life. And sometimes there are people that take offence, but all we're trying to do is encourage you, soak yourself in the Word. Allow God to strengthen your faith. Allow God to get your eyes upon Jesus so that you see Him and you understand how God wants to move in your life. Now, this is not just necessarily according to anything to do with not just healing, but the blessing, about forgiveness, about the goodness that God wants to do in your life, about the very fact that He wants to bless you. Know God's Word. Saturate yourself in Him. And I'll tell you what, when you know that God's sun is shining, He wants to heal, He wants to bless, His grace and mercy are always shining. And when you understand that, it makes it so much easier to receive, and you just reach out to Him You've asked him if there's any clouds in the way, and yes, he's told you, and wow. I've made it sound so simple. In many ways it is simple, but I understand it's so hard in other ways. But I encourage you, even though it might appear difficult, to hang on in there. Soak yourself in the word, and you will see the flowers blossom. You will see your healing come. You will see that answer to prayer that you've been seeking for such a long time. Because the sun is always shining. We just need to receive by faith. In the weeks ahead, perhaps I might elaborate on some of the other clouds in our lives and how we can deal with those. But I just wanted to encourage you tonight that God is not a reluctant giver. It's just us who find it difficult to receive. And once we can just sort of understand God's goodness towards us, allow God to inspire our faith as we soak ourselves in his word, then it is so much easier to receive, and that connection is made, and we see God move in power. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a song, In Christ Alone, My Hope is Found in... Oh, what is it? Cornerstone, is it? Did I get it right, that story about the Holiday Express?
The crux of the matter was right.
The crux of it was right, yes. Okay. Not the bit about the porridge from Sainsbury's.
That was right.
Oh, that was right. Oh, right, that was right. Okay. But the crux of it was right. How much money did you lose? We won't go to that. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, one of the things that we were talking about this morning is that, you know, yes, we receive by faith, and that... we were talking about the man in Acts where Paul prayed for the man at Lystra, and he saw he had faith to be healed, and he received because he had an expectancy. But also we were talking about the fact that later on in that chapter, Paul was left for dead and the disciples had to gather around him. And I said that in that instance, the disciples had to come around him and apply jump leads to him. You know, sometimes when you've got a cold car in the winter, you turn it over and it goes... That's sometimes how we feel. And you say, well, how's your faith doing? That's about it. Sometimes you need jump leads. You need some brothers and sisters in the Lord who have got their foot on the accelerator and revving it up and bringing their jump leads across to you. And then you say, now turn the ignition. How's your faith now? So... Is it you? It's you two that are there praying, aren't you, tonight? So Nathan and Rebecca are here to encourage you tonight to apply jump leads to you if you feel that your faith is low tonight. So don't be discouraged and say, I've got to have more faith. I'm never going to do it. Brothers and sisters can encourage you. So don't be offended. Be encouraged and look to the Lord and you'll see your healing or the answer to whatever prayer you're looking for. Amen. Praise God.